Mr. Children from the Sanctuary. Wasn't it perfect? Wasn't it perfect? You know how you do when it's time to talk about some things and you tell the children, this is for adults only. You need to go in another room. Don't be listening to my conversation. Come on now. Don't act like the anointing left. It really fell right now. We think because we talk about a touchy subject that, oh, Lord, the anointing is gone. The Holy Spirit has left. Holy Spirit is all up in this thing. Because so many things are happening in today's society that we need to talk about it. Because ain't nobody talking about it. Ain't nobody standing up at the pulpit anymore talking to you about your sex. They're not talking to you about how it should be between a man and a woman. And not just every woman, your woman. And not every man, your man. It should be a ring on it. Should be a ring on it. Yeah, some people looking at me, oh, Pastor, why are you going to do it? You know, why are you, I thought we were tight. I thought we had this agreement you were going to talk about me. I ain't talking about you. But if the shoe fits, you put it on. That's it. My wife and I would always say, I'm so glad when we met, we weren't saved. No. Y'all have some terrible minds. It's because we could talk to each other in a room alone and not have to worry about anything. Christians judging us. Being able to go out to a club and dance together and just talk, have a cup of coffee. With Bailey's. Or a Tennessee mudslide. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But that's only for real coffee drinkers. Is that what it is? Y'all know what it is? You don't want to try it either. But when it gets to the point where it gets heated, the other one gets heated, you know, the mood is set. In the children ministry, I can tell about 9 months now. There better be some more marriages in the house before, but I'm just saying. But look, your pastor's just a little on the other side. tell you, God looked at me and said, oh, let's just keep him right here. He's going to do something that's going to make me laugh. He's going to do something that's going to go against the grain. He's going to say something to challenge the people. He's going to bring a message that's going to make them blush, make them get mad, make them cry, and make them laugh all in the same sermon. Amen. He says, that's the man that's after my heart. Amen. I so appreciate the fact that we can be in a house of worship, but be able to have fun in the presence of God. Where instead of having to go hide in a place to have fun, with the lights are turned off, it's smoky all over the place, you got to pay to get in. Some of y'all are like, well, I had to get my tithes first. And, you know, it's like paying cover charge to church. Well, if you had to pay cover charge at a club to get your dance on, if you're going to give your tithes, you get your dance on. Get your praise on. See, some folks, the introverts, you know what introverts are, right? They're the ones that, unless they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're quiet. Don't call on me. It's out of my norm. It's out of my comfort zone. But, get a little influence. Little bit of influence. Not a whole lot. Some of y'all indulge a lot in the influence. That introvert is no longer an introvert. That individual is very outspoken. And what's really down deep inside is really going to come forth. We think, oh my God, that trash punch really did it to me today. No. Here's the deal. If you don't identify with really who you are, and you're always afraid of what others say about you and what they think about you in your identity, you'll never enjoy who God has made you to be. Amen. We have to understand that God made us in a very special and unique, peculiar way. You don't believe it? Look around you. We don't look the same. Thank God. Thank God we don't act the same. Amen. 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 Yeah, right away you went to that individual. Oh yeah, Sister So and So. She like, really good. Gets on my last one, you know. But she, pastor over there just yelling all the time because I can't even understand. You know, you go to that place because you know certain individuals. But God made us that way because each individual is going to challenge us. But what it's going to challenge us to do is to identify who we really are. Now, if I was to walk in here with an Armani suit, whether it be a two-piece or three-piece suit, and have me a nice tie, alligator shoes, or whatever kind of shoes, not the pleather, but the real leather, okay? Had a Rolex watch, had a diamond ring, come in here and start talking to you about nothing but blessings. Say, well, okay, well, he just wants money so he can continue living his lifestyle. Because immediately we go to what's on the outer. Right? Follow me now. Follow me. But when we start talking about character, integrity, and what a real person is, it's not what's on the outside. I have met many millionaires, multimillionaires, sat there and talked with them. You wouldn't even know that they even had the money. They look just like the country bumpkin, like everybody else out there. You wouldn't even know it. Half the time they're in their flip-flops and overalls, you didn't even know they had money. Because they're not trying to show something that they're not. They are who they are. No matter what money comes their way, this is just who they are. Because when I come into mine, don't get me wrong, I like to dress. I do. Don't get me wrong. But one of my favorite foot attire my wife can't stand is my flip-flops. I like my flip-flops. I wear them to the movies. I wear them to the restaurant. I wear them out to the mall. I'm just out and about. Hey. Let me be comfortable. It's all right. Put on some of those baggy shorts. You know the ones. Just some baggy shorts, a loose T-shirt. Come on. Where we going? We're going to go to the mall. Oh, let's go. Are you going to get dressed? I is. What you mean? I'll put you on everything. Let's go. But our outward has a tendency to make people begin to judge who you are. Well, now, let's think about this sex issue. We don't fall in love because of character. You gonna make me work this? Oh, I'm in love with you because of your integrity. Or, I fell in love because you're a woman of God. You're an intercessor. I just love you. No. No, here's real truth. Real talk. That smile just radiates. What's your name? Kitty, huh? Because you perfect. Yeah, Holy Ghost said, oh, Lord. Dispatch the angels now. Just take them. But look, wait a minute. Let's real talk. We don't go to the individual that has got our attention based upon their character. We go based on what we see with our eyes. First of all, we walk in. We start scanning the room. We don't even start looking for a ring first. We just start. You know, we could be one of those churches that had just, the whole front row has reserved, you know. Yeah. Yeah, the whole front row all the way across the sanctuary, reserved for leaders, right? You get one, Rico Swivett come in, he go on the first row. She by herself, sure. You know how we all try to make that move. We just try to get closer to the one that's caught our eye. But here's the very thing that I want to discuss with you. Like, oh, thank you. Let's get to the word. It is Sunday. Get to the word, Pastor. But see, here's the thing. We need to understand that our eyes are the things that are guiding us to where we're going. And then when we get there, it seems like we lose all kinds of self-consciousness, self-awareness, and morals, and everything else. We're just out the window. And we just start kind of going with the flow. Then the mood just kind of changes. Because you're after what you desire. I had a discussion with a gentleman one time. We were sitting in the sauna at the Gold Gym. Gentleman asked me, he goes, Pastor, how do you stay focused with what God has given you? A lot of other people in there. I said, well, if we're going to talk for real, we're going to talk in the gym. This gym talk. Let's just talk for real. The thing that God has given you better be as sexy as what you want it to be. Sexy. Attractive. So that your eyes don't go anywhere else but what God has given you. So you stay focused. It's got to be so hot. It's got to be that very thing that ain't nothing can come in and take your eyes off of what God has told you to do. If you can look at purpose that way, then you'll stay right in that very vein. But if you think that it's truly not all that, you'll be easily swayed away. Real conversation. Same conversation that I had with this individual. It came in and followed the opposite thing. And so I'm trying to tell you, you never pursue the thing with your eye. You always know what's inside. Always. If the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth, we're to know all truth. Right? Now, when we're out there getting attracted by the opposite sex, some of y'all are like, well, you know, hey, what, I don't know yet. then you're confused. That's what it is, confusion. God didn't make any mistakes. He created he and she, Adam and Eve, that when a man cleaves to his wife, his woman, they become one. And for too long, we have seen us as a church body, as a whole, accept things into our society and say it's okay. And we've used to love them to the end. I do. I'm not judging an individual. I'm not coming against the individual. There's a spirit that is behind it. That's what it is. But what we must do is understand that that individual has lost their identity. And what do? They try to act like someone that they're not. Now, we can go right into the Bruce Jenner and Kylie. Caitlyn. Okay. I don't know why I keep going Kylie. I don't even know who Kylie is. Huh? Well, that's what I mean. Because he didn't know, so he went daughter. He went opposite. But here's the thing. We see all kinds of things out on the newsstands, all over the internet, all kinds of things going on about how it's okay to change your sex. Well, my question is, when are we... And it was beautiful. I saw this on Facebook, that there was a young boy that responded to what he saw about Bruce Jenner in The Change. It was so simple. Out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of babes. That is gross. That's what he said. That's what he said. But everybody, oh, but he's just confused. It's a spirit. There's something that transpired beforehand. And here's the thing. We don't know what transpired in the home. We don't know if what took place in a lineage before. Okay? But we judge with our eyes. Which takes me into this. I want you to go to Revelation 22, please. This is the second part of sex in the heat of the moment. Sex in the heat of the moment. Revelations 22, 12 through 17. New American Standard Bible. This is what it reads. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost come. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that you prepare the hearts and the minds of those to receive what the Spirit of God is saying unto this church in this hour. We are in a season, Father, of the great falling away. But we thank you, Lord, that as you speak, you begin to call a people back to you. I thank you for the power of your word, and I thank you that there are no boundaries. As we speak into this atmosphere, Lord, we thank you that holiness is being brought back, not only to the church, but to the city, to the homes, and into the lives of your people. So we thank you in advance in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Take your notice to verse 15. It says, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons. The murderers and the idolaters and everyone who practices lying. Well, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Just listed in those particular that particular verse there about the immoral persons. The Bible says if we just even look at a woman and think lustfully after that woman, you've already committed adultery. You've already committed the sin. It would be like this church would be empty because we all created some form of sin. And we would never be able to enter in. But the key fact is that when we go to the tree of life, which is Jesus, and we partake of the cleansing through the blood, all of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Don't minimize the power of the blood. But in order for us to continue to move in that very thing with Christ, we have to have a true repentant heart. The repentant heart means you turn away from. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately. That doesn't mean just because you said yes to Jesus, your life is never going to be the same. Well, there's some sort of truth to that. It won't be the same. You're going to be made renewed. You're going to be continuing to be made new. There's going to be a renewing of your mind. But it's going to be a process if you would let it, if you let it happen. If you don't let it happen, you will do exactly as the Israelites did in the wilderness. You will go around and around and around and around and around. What should have been just a few days journey went 40 years. How many of us been going around a mountain, that same mountain, over and over and over, and we're tired of it, aren't we? We're at that point where I don't want to do this no more. Now is the time for change. Now's that time. He begins to speak to Moses and tells Moses, look at your people. Look at what's going on. They're stiff-necked. What does that mean? That stiff-neck, they don't want to turn. They want to continue doing what they've always done. Do we want to stay that way? Well, then we need to change the way church is going now. If we see a great falling away taking place in the body of Christ, it's usually because there's something not happening. Correct? So when the fire is turned up, because, you know, I like to eat. Hallelujah. Popo, you remember when we put those slab of ribs on the barbecue pit? And when you put those slabs of ribs on there, you can't just start to eating at it right away. Because you'd be chewing and a chewing and a chewing and a chewing, and it would never go anywhere. You get so tired chewing. But when the fire gets turned up, and then it's left there for the processing, and you leave it there long enough, that same thing that was hard to chew becomes more palatable and easier to chew. But you've got to go through that process. Nobody wants to go through the process. No, no. I don't like it either. Lord, can I become fine gold without the heat? Can I become pure silver without the fire? No. And he sees fit to turn that heat up as many times as he wants. Does he not? Is he not in control? Haven't you felt like, that's it, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to church every Wednesday. I'm going to go every Sunday. And then I'm going to go to the outreach. And I'm going to do everything. I'm just going to be on the intercessor prayer thing. That's it. I'm in this thing. And the moment you purpose to do so, all hell starts breaking loose. Yes. Right? Yes. Jesus was on a fast. It wasn't no demon spirit. It was the demon. It was the devil himself. Oh, you the Son of Man? Really? You the Son of God? You are? Prove it. How many times do you have to prove to people who you really are? Huh? How many times? They want to trip you up. They want to get you all messed up. They want to tell you this is what you can have, not knowing it was already his. Right? You know how the drug pusher works? The drug pusher comes up to you. He knows what you desire. He knows what your flavor is. And he pushes what you want. So it makes it easier for you to go after it. So you don't think the devil knows what you want? Oh, he knows exactly what your flavor is. And he'll put it right before you. Many times free. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to take me to dinner. I'm yours. Oh, you thought I was talking about a drink or something. Mm-hmm. Ring, ring. Hello. You already know who it is. You got that caller ID and you. What did Joker want? Hello. Kids asleep. Come on over. You know, sometimes we just give in to what we desire. Do you think that the enemy knows that you're just going to say, you know what? Just do it. Just go with it. If it feels good, it is good. But sin feels good for a moment. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, we want to continue doing that thing because, well, I ain't died yet. Jesus hasn't returned with the flames of fire. And so I guess I'm okay. So it makes it easier to just continue, right? But the reality is you're sowing in to all kinds of discourse. Because of the. What took place? I was going to say the other one. Because of what took place, it causes discourse. Just because you're after what you want. So the enemy knows how to make it happen. Now, for, let's just, examples. Nobody in this room does this. Nobody. Just an example, if you would. Hypothetical. You know, as everybody says, hypothetically. Quote, unquote, hypothetically. Because nobody in here does it. But a married man happens to be out of town on business and walks into a happy hour somewhere, has the wedding ring on. Do you think the woman's going to turn away? No, the woman is attracted right away. Because if someone sees interest in you to marry you, there must be something good about you. So it must be better than what I'm with right now. Or I may not have anything, so I might as well just hook up. See, in the heat of the moment, we're not really thinking about what God is thinking. We're thinking about what we're thinking and what we're desiring. In the heat of the moment, things are always presented to us, and it's up to us to make a rightful decision. Because outside the gate are the idolaters, the liars, and every immoral person. I wonder who's on the other side. Because that's a big list right there. That's a big list. So how many of you have lied once? Raise your hand. Some of you are like, I don't lie. I just tell half truth. So then you would be on the outside and you wouldn't be on the inside. So we'd be all in here because we're sinners. Do you see how the enemy wants to come in and he wants to make everything that you're trying to do feel like it's worthless because you're never going to obtain the prize, the prize, the prize, the crown, the blessings in heaven? No, they're here, here on earth. But he presents things to us and it begins to make us question really who we are, our identity. Well, the spirit of the bride is saying, come. We need to come to him and let him speak to us. Let him show us what we're struggling with. And we all have our struggles. Some of us don't struggle with it. They enjoy it. But a real struggle is something that you don't want to do. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, 19 through 21 out of the NIV reads, have you been thinking along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. And you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you. I will be grieved over many of you who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. This is written to the church. This is the Apostle Paul writing this to the church. When I used to read Corinthians, I was thinking beforehand, before I knew how to really look at scriptures and have a better understanding, I was thinking that he was writing this letter to all of those outside the church. But in reality, it's written to the church, and within the church, you find these groups of people. Isn't that strange? Hello? Isn't it strange we find these types of people in church? You sit right next to them. Don't look at your neighbor right now. Don't. But in the church, this is where all of this is happening. Do you know that in churches all across America has become what we are now calling it the new marketplace to hook up? And we want to hook up in church because, oh, they're Christians. Find me a good Christian woman, Christian man. Heaven forbid it's one of the ministers or elders of the house. Hey. We're going to hook up for a moment. And then the holiness of praise and worship teams or elder boards and deacons and deaconesses and prophets and prophetesses and all of those are no longer holy. They're all just trying to hook up. We've seen it. Trust me, I've seen it. Oh, I need to call you close to me and we need to, I need to pour into you. That better be who God called you to be next to mentor and train up. And a man should never, ever, 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 ever be mentoring a woman. I'm not pointing to you as a woman. Because all it takes is the friendly little touch. I was just moving the hair. Don't get too excited now. Easy. We're just role playing. We're role playing. I still got it, baby. I got it. Now look. We should never be with the opposite sex. But hold on. Now watch this. This statement should be strange to you. Would you think we'd have to worry about the same sex? Now? Yes. In the church. So now what it's causing leaders to do, which it should have been done all along, you should never be alone with another individual, period, now. Because if we're together, my side of the story is going to be twisted with what he wants to say. I was with Pastor. Pastor told me. No, Pastor didn't say that. Pastor said this. You twisted it to the way you heard it. So you should always have others around you. Never have someone in your sphere of influence alone that what you say can be twisted to get what they want. The enemy will use it. This is a two-part kind of message. I want to share with you this. We're still talking about sex, part two. We're ending this series. Part two, the second title, which would be the subtitle of this message, would be the robe is the key to your palace, but God's anointing is what keeps you there when the robe is removed. The robe is the key to your palace, but God's anointing is what keeps you there when the robe is removed. Now, how many of you know the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors? It's so beautiful. Joseph was loved by his father. He loved him more than his other sons. because he was the son of his old age. He gives him a coat of many colors that shows how much adoration and love he has for his son. So he gives him this coat. Well, now the coat is put on him. What happens next? Jealous. Jealous. Why are they jealous? Josh, come sit over here, sir. Sit right here in the front, please. Oh, wait, but before you sit down, my papa, I love you, papa. Okay. You can sit down. You look beautiful. You look handsome. I like, and then look, the Chuck Taylors, they match. It looks awesome. Awesome. Now watch. Now, the coat is given to Joseph. We know the story. Jealousy comes. Come here, Michael. Come here, Michael. Come here, Hannah. Come on. Come on, yo, yo. Come on, yo, yo. Y'all are on the podcast. Are like, they're playing yo-yos in church now. Now watch. Okay, now look. Now, here are my children. Now the coat is given to my son, the youngest son, given to him. Shows favor, right? But now it causes all kinds of discord. They plot together. The three of y'all come over here. And you're like, oh, I know the story, Pastor. I know the story. Now watch. Here's what I'm going to show you. Now, what caused all kinds of jealousy? Not the dream. He was favored by the father, period. Now, a gift is given. The gift was given. Now, the coat was given, and it made the siblings very upset and very mad. Now, watch this. As the gift is given, now, revelation, dreams, and visions become more prevalent to the young boy. Right? The father first found favor. A gift was given. It causes all kinds of jealousy and anger and bitterness. And now, move the pulpit. Now, they now are so sick and tired of this that daddy is always over there. I love you so much, love, right? So now they're like, oh, my God. Dad comes over here and kisses me. And, you know, dad tries to, and see? That's not the role playing. There's no disclaimer on that one. I ask. Now, what happens is now they're all upset and they're mad. Watch your ear. All upset and mad. So now what do? They wanna kill. Now watch. Get upset. Now they plan to kill him. Now what do? What is taken off of him? Okay, take him over there and put him over there in the pit. Put him in the pit. Just put him on the pit. Put him in the pit. Put him in the pit. Go down. Go down. Okay, now he's in the pit, right? But what is left? Come here. Siblings, come here. Joseph's in the pit. What is left? The coat. Now, the coat is what identified him with favor to them. So think about taking the coat and killing him, dipping in blood, bringing it to the father, bring it to the father. Ay, not mi hijo. Not mi hijo. Oh, my God. Not mi hijo. Okay. Y'all still don't read that way?
No.
Y'all need to get new Bibles. No. Ay, mi hijo, mi rey, ¿dónde está mi rey? So father's distraught and upset because the identity was brought back. They didn't have to bring the body back to him, right? They brought something that identified who he was. Now, is the favor removed?
No.
Say it again.
No.
Say it again.
No.
So then, hold on to that, and y'all can sit down. Sit down right here, front row. Thank you, front row. Now, listen. Identity is always attacked first. But when something is given, it's given as a gift from God. The outward is what's always attacked. It's the inward that no one can see yet. When the coat was given by the Father, it signified a covering. It signified of the anointing that this one is mine and special and favored. So when they threw him in the pit, one of the brothers said, "Don't kill him. Don't harm him." There comes. Watch this. Now watch. I'm going to share something with you that is very pivotal. Watch this. This is proof to what I'm saying. They look up and they see a band of Oscar and Lionel. Come from this side over here, please. Come around, come around. Look. They see these traders coming into in that area, and guess what they're carrying with them? Not yet. No. The anointing. Watch. Watch. Okay. Come over here. You're going to come right here to him. He's going to see them. And he says, "Oh, wait a minute. No, let's not kill Joseph. Let's give him to the traders that are coming in to Egypt. And they're bringing spices. Genesis 37:25. Watch this. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh. They were on their way to take them down to Egypt. What is the balm, the spices, and the myrrh? The anointing oil. So what was removed, which was the anointing from the Father, only the outward was removed that caused all kind of jealousy, now it's been traded. Y'all two come over here. And now you're taking him. Watch this. Watch the oil applied. Applied.
I'm not going.
Now take where? To Egypt. Okay. Now they're taking to Egypt, right? The anointing was already on him. It wasn't what was on the outward, but because the Father had already signified the favor, the anointing came regardless of the outward attacks, regardless of all kinds of jealousy, regardless of all kinds of words spoken against him, regardless of everything that they wanted to tear him down with, the anointing preserved. Do you see that? The anointing. Now, watch this. Now they take him into Egypt, and guess who finds him? Potiphar finds Joseph. Why? Because he sees the hand of God on him. Hold up now. How can he see the hand of God if he doesn't worship God? He understood that there is something on the young boy. He saw within when everybody else saw what was outside. Woo-hoo. Y'all can sit down. Y'all can sit down. Now watch, just because the coat is taken off doesn't mean the anointing is removed. The anointing remains. Now watch as the process begins to increase the anointing on his life. You would think, you throw me into a pit, that's it. I'm done, I'm through. Then taken in, and what many would say, he's sold into slavery. He was sold. It was an exchange that was there, but it wasn't into slavery. Went into Potiphar's, into Egypt. Potiphar saw who he was and says, "Bring him to me." He was never a slave. Brought him to me into the palace. Now watch this. Gets into the very palace. And now the real attacks come. Now the real attacks come when you get to the place that you're called to be. And even though things on the outside had been attacked, attacking the identity, attacking the favor, attacking the very promise, the very dream, and the very purpose of who you are, being attacked on the outside. God says, I have anointed you in your pit. I anointed you in your pit so that when you get to that palace and you're about to be tempted, there is a way of escape if you keep your eyes on me. Watch, watch. Now, Joseph is in the palace, and here comes the woman. Put it on, put it on, put it on. Come work it over here. Come work it over here. Right here. Now, Potiphar finds favor on him and says, everything in my house you have control over. You have charge over. You have authority over. There is no one greater than I but you. In this place, you have charge over everything. Okay? Now he's working. Watch this. Read the story. One day he's working, and no, not one man was there in the palace but him. Here comes Potiphar's wife. Watch this. Watch this. Making all kinds of advancements. Lie with me. That's not an advancement. Come on. Not even an advance. Hey, come on. She didn't play. She knew what she wanted. Come lie with me. Tell me that ain't the heat of the moment. You ain't got to work at it. Come lie with me. What did Joseph say? I would never. He stayed faithful to Potiphar. He should have never been in the place alone, but he stayed faithful. Here came the temptation. In the heat of the moment, she reaches and he gets away. Now watch this. Watch this. Holds on to identity again. Brings identity to Potiphar. Look at what your servant has done. I cried out and he ran away and he left this. This is who did it. Identity again. Your identity is going to be challenged in every area and every step of your progression in God. Towards your destiny. Even while being in the very place he's called you to be in, you're going to be challenged. Here has the anointing now begin to increase because he stayed faithful and stood in the face of adversity and said, I will not bend to what God has said for me to do. He understood. In the very heat of the moment, he didn't give in to sex. He didn't give in to. Now, think about it. It seems like everything that is on Joseph is being attacked. Everything's being attacked. From the first coat of many colors, not to the coat that identifies him as above every servant in the house and Potiphar's second in command. Have you ever felt like you're going someplace and you're increasing in the anointing and you're being attacked? Your character, your integrity. They start changing things that you've said just so they can get what they want. Again, identity is stripped, but the anointing remains. The anointing remains. What does Potiphar do? Now Potiphar throws him into the jail. Read the story. What happens? Now the jailer looks at him and says, you've got favor on you. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm leaving you in charge of the jail. Hello? The anointing will always be seen, not just from Christians. It'll be seen from others outside. They know you carry something very special, very costly, and very, very powerful. So they're going to come to try to strip you of it. Hold fast to what God has given you. You don't bend in the time and the heat of the moment. You stand firm what God has given you. Even in the jail system, we all know it, that he gets so much favor. He gives all this interpretation of the dreams. And then he brings them out and puts them in that palace. And he gives them all of the charge of Egypt. Your identity will always, always be challenged. Words will always come your way. Lies will always come at you. And there will always be plans to take you out. But God already knew what was going to take place. Even in your pit, he sent the anointing oil on your life. Not only was it there, it was on the ride all the way to Egypt. It begins to cost more, have more precious weight to it, has more value to that anointing. And once you get to that place, don't give in to the heat of the moment. Stand firm. Stand firm to it. Now, we all know what he's been through. Don't you think Joseph could have had that entitlement? Wait a minute. We're alone in this palace. There's nobody here to see. And if nobody knows, it's okay. Think about it. This is a young boy. Young boy. Since he was 17 years old when his daddy gave him that coat. So around the time in the palace, he's maybe in his 20s now. Young. Opportunistic. A woman of influence. A woman of power. Could have easily said, you know what, I've been through a lot. My family even came against me. I was thrown in a pit. I was sold to these merchants and brought here. You know what? I deserve this. Think about it. You know, just think, it's not written. But we're not thinking about what is going through this young man's mind. I've been through so much. Let me get a little happiness for a little bit. It's just sin for a little bit. I've already gone through so much hell. But he stood. He thought about the consequences before he did it. And what I'm trying to tell you is, what's on the outside never matters. It's always what's on the inside. What's on the inside of you is what people see. It's what the enemy sees. He knows if I get you, I can get you right now at your weakest point, tempt you with the thing that you think the most of. He was always alone. Always alone. How many times do you feel like you're alone in the very march towards your destiny? Raise your hand. Yeah. Brother sitting back there in the back, your first time here. You're not alone, man. You're not. You have felt like you have been in that very part, just like Joseph, left for dead, left out on the streets, having to fend for yourself. But I hear the Spirit of God saying, not only have I called you and given you such a heart, I'm going to restore to you everything that you have lost. Everything. You have lost much, brother. But I'm here to tell you, God is going to turn that thing around. And you're about to experience not just the joy, but the unspeakable joy. I encourage you, man, just keep walking with God. Keep walking with him. And I know it's hard because brothers want to rally around you. And usually it's the weaker ones that want to stand with you because you defend them. But not every fight is yours. Some of the times their mouth gets them in trouble and you need to get them out. Quit it. Let their mouth feel the wrath of what their mouth put them through. You get in the middle because you know you can. But beloved, I'm here to tell you, if you do that one more time, you may lose your life. Be careful. Your heart is pure. You're a good man. I don't know you, but I do know this, what I see on you, Potiphar saw in Joseph. And I see that in you, you're a good man. And I bless you from the crown of your head to the very soles of your feet. Encourage him, Father. Keep him. Sustain him. Keep him in your mighty hand. And restore to him the years that the cankerworm and the palmerworm have stolen from him. Give him peace in his heart and give him peace in his mind. And I thank you for what you're about to do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Daddy. You can sit down. Redemption. 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 The Redeemer has drawn nigh to his people. And he is about to redeem the body of Christ like never before. He is going to redeem. He's going to bring back in order what was out of order. He is going to restore what has been in a discord. He is going to put people's hearts aligned together to help do the things that he's intended in these last days. We have to be willing to allow him to take us through the journey. It's not easy. They will come against you. They will strip things away from you. They'll lie about you. And then all along, when you're just doing everything that you said from day one, they will quit on you. They'll quit on you. They'll pull away from you. And they'll say, all right, now you see, it's an emergency call from Jesus. Thank you, sir. What he's doing is going to bring to you the rightful workers, the ones that need to be at your side. He's going to bring people that have the same vision, same heart, and are in unity together. He's going to do away with the division and having separate visions. But the one vision that he has is to restore the bride of Christ. For he's coming back for the bride that's without spot or blemish. And if there's something that you know that you've been struggling with, now is that time to turn away from it. Now is. Not later, because you don't know if your tomorrow is even promised. You can walk out of here today and not repent from that very thing. And you're saying, well, wait a minute, I already given my life to Christ, but you have to confess your sin to God, not man, to God. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for that very thing that I turn to, that I willingly do when I know I'm not supposed to do. Whatever the case may be, God, forgive me. Help me to turn away from it and repent from it, to turn away from, to change the very act of what I used to do. Help me, God, so that I will not be a stumbling block to those that are following hard after you. So I thank you in advance in Jesus' mighty name. Now, for those of you that are standing, I'm standing, you should be. Let's stand to your feet if you would. See, prophetic went out there and I was already thinking you were standing. I want you to grab hands with your neighbors, please, all across. Come towards the middle. Everybody come towards the middle. Hold hands, please. David, you can go ahead and stop the recording. Pull up.